It is awesome to be able to watch our kids praise Jesus. Amen? And it's really, really fun to watch you guys praise Jesus. And man, it's just awesome. So you ever read a passage of scripture and then the Lord just kind of starts doing this on you? Like, hey, this one's just for you. Anybody ever have that happen? And you're like, oh man, now I got to respond to it. You know, this is probably one of those passages of scripture that I've got to live out a little bit in the last half of a week. But if you're a guest with us, I just want to say welcome. I am excited that you are with us. And if you are looking for a church home, can I just be the first to say welcome home? There's one thing I love about our church here at New Life is the people. You are so amazing. And I don't just say that, I mean that. You guys are just rock stars, and it's fun to watch us as a church family navigate life. And like Chad was saying this morning, one of the things that's so awesome about it is the different demographics of our church when it comes to age, status in life. All of that. I mean, it's such a place, an awesome place, and we are just growing in the idea of learning how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm just excited. And we've been in this series called, The Storyteller, walking through the parables of Jesus. And if you don't know what a parable is, it's just a story that illustrates, a biblical or heavenly concept or spiritual truth. So today, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to open up to it. I think the scriptures are on the handout if you got a handout. If you didn't get a handout, they're at the Welcome Center. Somebody can grab one for you. We will also have scriptures on the screen. And it goes like this. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And it says this, it says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. And I thought about that a lot. We're everybody familiar with this story? I believe Peter was authentically, I believe that he was authentically thinking that he was asking a question that Jesus would commend him for. And here's why. Because the rabbis in that time, the spiritual leaders, had given the people a written tradition that said, if a man commits a transgression, the first, the second, and the third time he is forgiven. The fourth time he is not forgiven. So this is what the religious leaders were teaching the people. So I believe Peter was really being authentic when he asks that question. And Peter, I believe, truly believe that if he would forgive seven times, that he's going the extra mile, right? He's above and beyond, man. They say three. I'm going seven. I'm the dude, right? I'm the man. But then Jesus just simply blows him out of the water, right? Was Jesus saying to Peter that he could quit forgiving after he repeated a repeated offender after he reached 491st offense? Is that what he was saying? No. What he's saying is love doesn't keep score. If you're a note taker, that's your first fill-in. Love doesn't keep score. We shouldn't even bother to count. He was teaching the principle that there is no limit to the number of times that we are to forgive our brother or sister in Christ. Okay, Jesus reveals three things, real important things in this story. And this story is about relationships, really. It's about your marriage. It's about your relationship with your children, with relatives, with in-laws or outlaws or whatever. It's about relationship. And it's the incomprehensible size of our debt and God's response to that. Okay? His expectancy for us to replicate His mercy and His grace. This is what we're going to get. This is the big picture of how we're supposed to grab a hold of this morning. You with me? If you're with me, say, uh-huh. All right. So Matthew 18, 23 and 24 says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who has decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars, exactly 10,000 talents. Does anybody know how much a talent is? Anyone besides Aiden? Tiny, how much is a talent? That's right. That's right. God loves everybody. That's perfect. That's perfect. So I happen to know a guy. So New Life kids, I happen to know a guy who has a doctorate in ancient currencies. So, and his name is Dr. Frederick Vormelker. Dr. Frederick Vormelker. Are you here, Dr.?
Well, hello.
New Life kids, say hi to Dr. Vormelker. Well, whatever, doctor.
Dr. Vormelker. Dr. Friedrich Vormelker. That is the name?
Well, Doc, can you help us? Since you have a doctorate in ancient currency.
And many other things.
And many other things. Can you share with us how much a talent is?
Let me dwell upon it for a minute. I have so much knowledge up here, and I do not know what to do with any of it. Well, a talent, first off, is 6,000 denarii. Anybody here know what a denarii is?
Anybody?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, one person. Yeah, not a denali.
Not a denari. Denali. I can't pronounce my R's. So, one denari is one day's wage.
One day's wage. So, here in Montana, anybody know what the minimum wage is for Montana?
I don't have a doctorate in that.
$9.20. Okay, that's Montana's minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were working an 8-hour job at $9.20, you would earn $73.60 a day.
Mm.
Is that right? You know the math, doctor.
Yes, that is right.
Is that right?
I hope.
Okay. You have a doctorate. So
I do.
The servant owes 10,000 talents.
Which is 60. Ooh. 60 million of today's wages.
Of today's wages.
Just in denarii.
$60 million in today's wages.
Which is, let me do the math. Calculating.
Mind blown.
I need you to reboot me. I need somebody to reboot me.
You need what?
Rebooted.
Okay.
That equals, in today's currency, $5,913,600,000. Almost $6 billion.
In today's currency, 10,000 talents. If you didn't understand German accent.
$5 billion. I'm the one with the doctorate here.
13. Where'd your accent go?
It's here.
Okay.
So, I'm just angry.
Okay, sure.
Okay. It's $5 billion. Say billion.
Yeah.
913 million. Say that. 913 million. It's 600,000. And if we round that up, don't say that. But if we round it up, it is $6 billion.
$6 billion. So. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
There is zero chance, zero zip, nada,
unless you
no
mean.
Way for this servant to be able to pay back what he owes to his master.
Wait, somebody owed that?
Somebody owed that.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you owe for your multiple doctorates?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Yes. So, Dr. Frederick, did you know that you and I and everyone else in this room, from the littlest to the to the biggest, to the oldest, to the youngest, we are in the same boat as this servant.
No.
Now, we don't owe $6 billion, okay? But we inherited a debt in sin passed down from one generation to the next. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yep. Did you know that your hair's messy?
It's not messy.
Is that the new style in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's quite...
It's called electrostatic electricity.
No. That must be another doctorate.
Yep.
Yes.
One of many.
So...
As well as cooking.
Yes, cooking. Do you hang out with Monsieur Moustache at all?
No. No? He's a disgrace.
A disgrace. Okay. Right on. So we are bankrupt before God with the debt of sin, and we can never pay it back. Right? Do you know that?
That sounds awful.
It sounds awful, right? But that's where it's at. Dr. Frederick, thank you for being with us today. Say goodbye to everybody.
I'll send you the bill. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye.
Okay, New Life kids, say Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.
All right. Man, we just keep coming up with new characters. I can't keep up with it. But that we are literally bankrupt before God with a debt of sin that we could never pay back. Okay? Jesus, though, being extremely intentional in sharing this story with the people that he's teaching. Okay, he is making an extremely huge point in his message today, or to them and to us today. Okay, and he's setting the bar high. Matthew 18:25 says he couldn't pay the servant, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. I don't know about you, but my wife, my four boys, and everything that I own isn't going to come close to $6 billion. My wife, maybe. I could probably get a buck and a quarter for each of my kids. Mwah. Just give to Ryan, just figured that out. What? So, yeah, but I can't imagine that. So this was a common practice in those days. A man would be sold into slavery to work off his debt. How would you like that? How many of us have debt? Don't lie. If you don't, I'm proud of you. How would you like to be sold into slavery to pay that off? Not a very good idea, right? And in this situation, and sometimes it was a real, it was just a thing that a man's whole family would be sold into slavery along with him, because his family was considered part of all that he owned. Right? Ladies, how would you like that? You're owned by your husband. Right? Kids, of course we own them, and we'll pay for them the rest of our lives. But how would that be? So the king ordered that the man, his family, and everything that he owned be sold off until the debt was paid off. But what a hopeless situation, even in this situation, right? That's man, could you imagine being stuck with that? I can't imagine that. A debt that he could never, ever pay. By the letter of the law, listen to this, by the letter of the law, the law being Scripture, the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, by the letter of the law, we are all not able to pay. We're all guilty, right? Every one of us are guilty. We have come up short. And as sinners, we are bankrupt before God with no way of paying our debt. What we owe, and I really thought about this week a lot, what we owe is insurmountable when it comes to our debt of sin. Insurmountable. We could never, ever, ever pay the price for our sin. But here's the deal. And I need you to grab a hold of this morning. The law was never intended to make us holy. Hear that this morning. The law was never intended to make us holy. But it was intended to reveal to us our hopelessness without a merciful gracious and loving God. It was to point out what sin was, to define what sin was, but it was never to make us holy. New Life kids, you got your Bibles? We got a Bible head challenge. Bible head challenge. Get your Bibles out. I got candy that Pastor Callie gave me. First two people to get this right gets a candy bar. Ready? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. The first two Bible heads up. First two. Boom. We got one right here and one right here. You're running away. Here we go. Galatians, what does it say? It says, the law has become our tutor. This is out of the Amplified Version. And our disciplinarian to guide us. To what? To Christ. To who? I should say, not what. So that we may be justified, that is declared free of our guilt and sin and the penalty and place it in the right standing with God, right? By faith. So check out the servant's response in Matthew 18, verse 26 and 27. Check this out. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. $60 billion in today's currency, right? And I'll pay it all. Really? Can any of us pay it all? Not in four lifetimes. Me, anyway. Fabulous. Sign a check. Okay, he is arrogant. And even in his approach to the master, he's arrogant and foolish. He's still lost in the self-centered, I got this mentality. And so many people in our day and age, just like back in the Bible days, you have this, I've got this mentality, I can do it. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. Isn't that the old adage? Has anybody ever tried that? I have to own boots first to do it, but no, right? So that's the piece of it. So he's got this mentality that he's got this. Proverbs talks about a guy like this. It says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his own folly. All too often we believe that we can fix it, right? We can fix it. We are just as foolish to ever believe that our good deeds can remove our sins. It's not possible. We come and we go, I got this, God. I can work myself up to this. I can do this. I can make myself a better person to measure up to your standard. And it's, the answer is still no. We think that if God will just be patient with us, maybe. Just give us enough time, we can work off our debt. That isn't going to happen. We think that we can reform our lives, and that's not possible. And devote ourselves to doing good enough deeds to outweigh our sins. We think that we can earn God's favor and forgiveness. But how can we work off a debt of sin when the wages of sin is what? Death. Right? Death. We could work for a lifetime and never come close to paying off debts of sin. So turn to your neighbor and say, this is where it's going to get good. That's right. The impossible becomes possible. When we humble ourselves before God. It's a good thing the man did that in this story, right? He fell to his knees, it says. It fell to his knees. Humility, listen, humility opens the door for God to lift us up. Okay, we need to let go and let God. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Matthew 18, 27 says, then his master was filled with pity or compassion for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Forgave $60 billion. Or $6 million. Thank you. $6 billion. That's still bad. It's not as bad. It's 60. Right? James 2:13 tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. Ephesians 2:4 says, God is rich in mercy. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. New Life Kids, another Bible Head challenge. You ready? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Find it. One of the things I love about what Callie's doing downstairs is she's teaching kids how to navigate the Bible. Biblical literacy is an important thing. We got one back there and one there. Cool. Which one do you want, Marcus? That one? Boom! There it is. Mama snags it. Back here. Can you catch? Oh, nice try. Right on. It says, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Okay. I love some of the old hymns. How many of you remember the old hymns? I'm going to share some words from one. Let's see how we do. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. I'm not going to sing, but it is Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt I could never pay. I remember singing that as a kid. And I just, you know, it's those old hymns, there's just something about them that there's so much in them, you know. When you think about that particular one, I remember singing that as a kid and not even understanding what I was singing until I grew up and had made such a mess of my life that now I understand. It's a powerful thing. But here's the thing. Now wait. So the story takes a very dark turn here in verses 28 to 31. Ready? It says, but when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000, 100 denarii, he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. So this guy leaves the presence of the king that just forgave him of $6 billion, in essence, of a debt, wiped it clean, cleared it out of his books, and he hunts down a buddy that owes him a hundred days wages and demanded payment. He didn't pass go. He didn't collect $200. He just went right to the guy, choking him and say, give me my money. Right? Now, here's the crazy thing. You think, oh, man, that's absurd. Nobody does that. But some people leave church on Sunday humming Amazing Grace and have a meltdown in a restaurant because a server didn't refill their drink quick enough. And you think that I'm kidding. It happens. 1 denarius, 1 day's wage. In our day, $73.60 per day times 100 is what? Who math? Is it on the screen? A TV back there is dead. So $9,856. Right? The guy was just forgiven of $5,913,600,000. So he was forgiven $6 billion, but couldn't forgive $10,000. So let's keep going in the story. You guys are like, oh, can we just keep moving? Chapter 18, verse 29-30. His fellow servant fell down before him. Does it sound familiar? And begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until his debt could be paid off in full. Now, the crazy thing about this, if you're in prison, how are you going to pay your debt? You ever think about that? I thought about that. It must be just me. Okay, moving on. So how tragic it is when we fail to share mercy and we fail to share grace and love that God demonstrated to us first. Listen, Jesus is making a massive, massive, massive statement here. Okay, verses 31 through 35. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, "It's about to get real in this place." Get your hankies out or your napkin or your Kleenex. And some of you are going to wave it. Some of you are going to need it to wipe your tears and your nose. Because, or maybe even the sweat off your brow. I don't know. But the temperature is about to go up. And you know where I'm going with this. Here it is. Let me ask you this. New Life Kids, where are you at? What do you think Jesus is saying about this scripture? Does that make sense to you? Let me read it one more time. Okay? Let me read it one more time. Okay, there's a servant that saw, other servants that saw that it was very, and they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man that he had forgiven a lot of money to and called him an evil servant. He said, "I forgave you of a tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have shown mercy on your fellow servant just as I showed mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Then Jesus says that that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart. What is Jesus saying? Yeah. Okay, there, right, bam, right there. Don't pass go, don't collect $200. Alright? Not quite, but you're right there. Not quite. Anybody else? Anybody else want to try? Any adults? What's Jesus saying? Forgive. Right? Forgive. God fully expects us to forgive others the same, on the same scale as He forgave us. There is no two scales. It's one scale. Right? There's not two sets of standards. It's one standard. If God freely releases us from our sins, from our mistakes, from our shortcomings, from our offenses, I believe that He expects you and I to do the very same thing. Think about it. The debt that we could not pay. We could not pay for our sins. We couldn't. It took Jesus coming to earth and dying on a cross to pay that debt. We could never pay it. But someone owes us $5 for 3 years and we're all upset about it. Or somebody said something that you didn't like and it offended you, which is a whole nother sermon. Don't even get me started on that. And we go that rate and we can't forgive somebody. Or somebody stole something or whatever. You fill in the blank. We can't forgive somebody for a small thing. And when I say small, that's in comparison to what God forgave us for, right? And we can't forgive them. This is the parallel that Jesus is drawing. Jesus is expecting us to do the same. How did Jesus teach us to pray? He modeled us a prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our kingdom come, and will be done on earth as it is. Help us to forgive. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive. Right? Our debt or our trespasses. Okay? You ready for another Biblehead challenge? We got one more. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We'll do. Is that all I got? I'll go two more. Two more. Here we go. First two, boom. I got one there and one there. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. There's one there. Probably should I give it to your mom? There you go, Bella. Good job. Good job, good job. How many adults can find those scriptures that fast? They're killing it. Right on. It says this. Paul tells us, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In the Passion Translation, I love it how it reads this. It says, but instead, be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Matthew 10:8, second part of 10:8 says this. Freely you have received, freely give. Right? So what's God's response to our sin? Here it is. You ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. He pardons all sin equally. Equally. Sin is sin. Okay? There are no varying degrees of sin. Man has created the various degrees, not God. Sin is sin. Whether you're a little one and you've told a white lie, or you've been disobedient to your parents, or you've ripped somebody off for $50,000, or whatever the scenario is. Maybe you gossiped about somebody, or whatever. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. There is no degrees, right? It's sin. Period. Sin. Well, but pastor, that sin right there, that sin will send them to hell. Really? All sin is bad, right? Okay? But here's the record. Here's the record. And I almost just killed myself with this one. Sin does not send you to hell. Sin doesn't. Rejecting Jesus Christ sends you to hell. Not sin. Sin separates us from the presence of God, but it does not send us to hell. But you know, I will forgive you for a small offense, but I won't forgive you for that one because you betrayed me. Okay? Jesus loves us despite our flaws and our mistakes. Here's the thing. Scripture tells us that love never fails. Right? Love never fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. Say this one. Love wins. Turn to your neighbor and say, love wins. And here's the thing that I am so grateful for, and I know you are too, that God forgets our sins and keeps no record of our wrongs. Can I get an amen on that one? He does not hold them against us. 1 Corinthians 13:5b says, it, meaning love, keeps no record of being wronged. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Hebrews 8:12 says, And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Now let me ask you this question. How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us keep a little mental note of the sins, the mistakes that people have done against us, the offenses? How many of us have done that? I see that hand. I see that hand. Lee, better pray with him. I see that hand. No, kidding. We all probably do at some level or another, right? We keep this mental file of the wounds that happen against us, the hurts, the offenses, whatever it is. But check out what Psalms 32:1 and 2 says. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yet what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. So you guys ready to learn about what the impact of unforgiveness is? Are you ready? Okay, the word forgive is actually from two words. Okay? The word forgive is an act of pardon to cease or cancel blame. It means to give up the right to retaliation. Right? Forgive is, like I said, two words. For and give. I'm going to give you love before you deserve it. Forgive. I'm going to give you mercy before judgment. It means that I give up the right to retaliate. Right? I'm going to give you mercy before judgment. Why does Jesus go to such extremes to get his point across? Because he knows the power of forgiveness. He knows it. He knows it. Freedom or bondage. That's the choice that you have. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My plan works. For unforgiveness harms us more than an offender. How many of you guys know that nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones. How many of you know that that's a lie from the pit of hell? The Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Right? That is so amazing. Words kill, they steal, and they destroy. Words are like this rock right here. Like this rock. Imagine. I go bigger, I go home. Imagine the physical damage this rock would do to somebody's body if I was to chuck it into the crowd right now. Carrie's like, ah! How much damage? But our words become like rocks. They come like rocks. And what do we do with the offenses? What do we do with them? I'll show you what we do with them. Oh my gosh, you're going to love this. As long as I don't drop it on my foot. Here's what we do. We take our rocks of offenses and we begin to, I can't even stick them to it. We begin to make pet rocks out of them. There's a pet rock. It's not going to stick. Right? And we begin to do this. And we make these pet rocks out of offenses and we hold on to them. And we hold them and we hold them. I need a volunteer. Duke, can you come help me, buddy? Please? You don't have to say a word. Come here. I promise. You got one thing to do. You can put this backpack on. Put it on here. Okay. And we're going to try to do this. I know it doesn't fit you. It's you go like this. You go like this. That works like that. Okay. And here's what we're going to do. I just need you to stand there. Okay. And here's what we do. We have an offense of somebody lied to us. Right? Somebody lied. Somebody looked at me wrong in the grocery store. Somebody didn't talk to me on Sunday morning, and I was offended by it. Right? Someone cheated me out of a deal. Give me another one. Give me another one. Yes. Give me another offense. Somebody. You were lied to. Right? These are all the rocks of offense and wounds and hurts that we pack around when we don't forgive. How'd you like to pack that around all day long? Not so much? Pretty heavy, isn't it? Think about. I don't want to throw you back out. Good job, Duke. Everybody give Duke a round. Ah. Right? The burden, listen, the burden of carrying the sins and offenses of others has a negative reaction on us. Okay? When we refuse to forgive, it allows bitterness to come in. Right? And bitterness is allowing somebody to live rent-free in your mind. They probably don't even know what they've done to you. And you're packing it around like a backpack full of rocks. You following me? Forgiveness. You're tied to them. You're chained to them. And they don't even know. And you're allowing them to live rent-free in your mind. You're allowing them to control you. Because you're unwilling to forgive. And guess what? You're the one packing it around, not them. You getting it? If you're getting it, say uh-huh. It weighs you down. It hinders our process. It robs you of your joy. It stifles your ability to love and forgive other people. Check this out. Research has found unforgiveness leads to hate, anger, bitterness, revenge, depression, chronic pain, anxiety, PTSD, stress, high blood pressure, heart disease, high cholesterol, a weakened immune system, lack of sleep, sickness, and ultimately leads the wounded individual to hurt and wound and offend other people. You've heard this saying, hurt people hurt people. Now think about that. Think about it. The weight that you're carrying and what it's doing to your body. Look at what it's doing to our country. People can't forgive and get over things. They carry it. And it's ripping us apart. It happens in churches. There's people probably on this side of the church that are offended by somebody on this side of the church. That's why they sit on each side. And I say it funny, but it's the truth. There's so much truth in this. Show me an angry person and I'll show you a person that's harboring unforgiveness. Unforgiveness impacts God's ability to forgive us. James 2:13 says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been, if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. Mark 11:25, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. This one right here. I probably read that passage of Scripture a bazillion times. But how many times do we pray to our Heavenly Father and we've got unforgiveness in our heart? And then we wonder why we're not feeling the presence of God, and we're wondering why things are going. We're wondering, right? It says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. Forgive us as we forgive those that trespass against us, those that owe a debt to us. Matthew 6:14 and 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sin. Our forgiveness, you got to grab this. This is worth your admission today. Our forgiveness breaks the flow of God's forgiveness. It breaks the flow. Our response to an offender. You guys ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. Freedom is found by choosing to forgive and love. Everybody say choosing. Choosing. It's a choice. And sometimes it's a hard choice, right? Sometimes the debt, the trespass, the transgression that has been committed against us is heinous. Abuse. It's heinous. But guess what? The longer you harbor that, this is what you're carrying around. You're carrying it. I am so, so sorry that you were abused in some capacity in your life. But if there's not forgiveness in your life, you're packing that around. All wherever you go, you pack it around. You're chained to that person until you forgive. And I know sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's steps. Sometimes you got to go to counseling and talk it out and be able to get some help from your pastor or a spiritual leader or an actual licensed therapist. Don't come to me about that because I'm not a therapist. But I'm saying you got to have forgiveness. You've got to have forgiveness. You've got to have forgiveness. You have got to choose. John 20 verse 23 says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. Here's the profound thing about that. Ready? Says, if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. There it is. Jesus challenges us to this in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Luke 6, 35 and 30 through 36 says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Okay, let me wrap this up. Okay, when we have unforgiveness in our life, now I want you to imagine this is the only snake that I can find. We're not a snake handling church. Let me just get that. So my youth pastor said, is that what we become when you're asking for snakes? No. I fired him that day, just so you know. Just kidding. But this is a rattlesnake in our imagination, right? And thank you, Village Drug, for loaning this to me. But when we are unwilling to forgive, it's like getting bit by a rattlesnake and let it keep biting you. Right? It's going to keep biting you when you're holding on to a snake. Does that make sense? It's like unforgiveness. It's going to keep biting you. And it's going to keep digging at you and poisoning you and poisoning you and poisoning you. You getting the point? And poisoning you. So you're bitter. You're angry. And you're no fun to be around. Ever. And you're just miserable. And when you're miserable, everybody around you becomes miserable because you're miserable. And you're spewing out venom. You're allowing somebody that doesn't even know to live rent-free in your mind. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Unforgiveness is poison. It's poison. And here's the cool thing about this whole story. Is Jesus is saying, just forgive. Take that weight off. His weight, His yoke is light. His burden is light. Give it to God. Give it to God. Let God fight your battles. Don't carry around the unforgiveness and allow it to become bitterness and anger and deceit and all of that stuff that brews. We need to be like imitating Jesus. Right? That's what we are as Christ followers, right? The word Christian in the Greek is little Jesuses, little Christs, many me's of Jesus. We're to reflect Jesus. We're to imitate Jesus. So here's what we need to do. We need to really, maybe this is you today, maybe you're sitting pretty. You're like, you know what? I don't have any issue. I don't have any regrets. I don't have any unforgiveness in my heart. If that's you, that's awesome. Excuse me. But we need to be able to take a self-inventory, right? An internal inventory. Who is it that I have unforgiveness towards? Even if it's a little thing, it'll still eat you up if you don't deal with it. Little things become big things when you just let them fester. You ever get a splinter in your hand and then you don't get it out? What does it do? It festers. It's infected, right? I know a guy that lost a thumb because he had a metal sliver in his thumb and he didn't take care of it and it got all... It was gross. Anyway, we won't harbor there. It was nasty. He lost his thumb because of it. How sad would it be when we miss going to be with Jesus because of unforgiveness? And I get it. Some of this stuff is real. Some of this stuff is real hurt. I get it. I hear you. But Jesus has said, forgive, let it go. He'll handle it. He gets to fight those battles on our behalf. But why do we want to carry that? So we need to take a self-evaluation here, a personal inventory. Who do you need to pardon? Who do you need to forgive? Stand with me if you would. So I'm going to do an invitation twofold. The first one is this. If you're here and you have never accepted the grace of Jesus and His salvation, you've never accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. The Bible says it's simple. We make things so difficult sometimes as human beings. It's simple. Romans tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the went to the cross. I just lost my brain. Went to the cross, died for your sins, was buried in a tomb, and rose from the dead by God the 3 days later. You believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you are saved. That's it. Second thing is this. Some of us in here today need to have a personal inventory in our life. There's unforgiveness in your life, in your heart. And God's Holy Spirit is saying, you need to give that up. You need to forget. And He's dealing with you right now. As we sing this closing song, here's my challenge. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is what you say. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that God sent you to earth, that you died on a cross, that you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and that God raised you from the dead 3 days later. I believe that in my heart, and I'm confessing it with my mouth. Lord, forgive me of my sin. The Bible says you're saved. And if you make that prayer today, I would love you to come and see me at the Welcome Center. I would love to hear that. Because here's the crazy thing about it. The Bible says that there is much rejoicing in the midst of angels in the Scriptures. Not the angels necessarily rejoicing, but God. God is rejoicing when one person comes and accepts His love and His grace. Second thing is, if you need to do some forgiveness, I challenge you this morning and I encourage you, I plead with you. Don't leave here today with that in your heart. As we sing this last song, take some time. You can sit down, kneel down. You can come down here if you want. You can go back in the back. There's somebody will be praying with you back there. If you need to pray with somebody, handle it today. Don't leave here with the unforgiveness in your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Let's sing. Worship team, thank you.